for Christ Church.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Did you know that the Catholic Church had its own religious order, whose job it was to ransom slaves held by the Muslims? Today, the story of St. John of Matha, founder of the Trinitarians, who devoted his life to freeing Christian slaves. The Catholic Church, which our Lord founded, taught that all men are equal in the sight of God. She rebuked the Roman slaveholders for their cruelty to their slaves. Gradually, many Roman nobles listened to her teachings. Shortly after the Church herself was freed from the catacombs, a certain wealthy Roman, Saint Melania, liberated thousands of slaves. In the Middle Ages, slavery no longer existed in Christian countries. Working men were known as serfs. The word serf was a word of honor then, and not a word of dishonor as is used today. No longer could the working man be sold together with his family. No longer was he a dependent beggar. He had his own plot of land and his own personal possessions. He had a right to wages. He rested on every Sunday and on numerous holidays, which the Church established for bodily rest as well as divine worship. The Church also established religious orders to ransom slaves taken by Turkish pirates in the Mediterranean. The Order of Trinitarians were founded in 1189 by St. John of Matha and St. Felix Valois. The Trinitarians are known to have ransomed nearly a million slaves from their Turkish masters. The Order of Our Lady of Ransom, founded in the 13th century by St. Peter Nolasco, likewise ransomed 500,000 slaves from the Turks. Wherever slavery appeared, there was the Catholic Church likewise appeared to stop it. What Abraham Lincoln did for the slaves in the United States, the Catholic Church had already done the world over. Wherever the Church was listened to, she changed the lives of all men for the better. The slaves became serfs, and the serfs in due time became fully free. By the end of the Middle Ages, even serfdom no longer existed in Catholic countries. All men in all Catholic countries were free. Serfdom and slavery returned to the world only after men refused to listen to the teachings of the Catholic Church. One of the lesser-known saints is one who spent his life ransoming slaves. That is St. John of Matha, founder of the Trinitarians. We know of his life and his great work from several bulls of Innocent III and the many authors of his life. St. John of Matha was born of a very pious and noble parents in France, June 24, 1169, and was baptized John in honor of St. John the Baptist. His mother dedicated him to God by a vow from his infancy. His father sent him to school where he learned grammar, fencing, riding, and other exercises fit for a young nobleman. But his chief attention was to advance in virtue. He gave the poor a considerable amount of his money his parents sent him for his own use. He visited the hospital every Friday, assisting the poor sick, dressing and cleansing their sores, and affording them all the comfort in his power. Being returned home, he begged his father's leave to continue the pious exercises he had begun, and retired to a little hermitage not far from his village, with the view of living at a distance from the world, and united to God alone by mortification and prayer. But finding his solitude interrupted by the frequent visits of his friends, he desired his father's consent to go to Paris to study divinity. He was soon ordained priest, and said his first Mass in the Bishop of Paris's chapel, at which the bishop himself and the rector of the university assisted. On the day he said his first Mass, by a particular inspiration from God, St. John of Matha came to a resolution of devoting himself to the occupation of ransoming Christian slaves from the captivity they groaned among the infidels. Considering it as one of the highest acts of charity, with respect to both their souls and their bodies. But before he entered upon so important a work, he thought it needful to spend some time in retirement, prayer, and mortification. And having heard of a holy hermit, St. Felix of Valois, living in a great wood, he begged that he would admit him into a solitude and instruct him in the practice of perfection. One day, sitting together on the bank of a spring, John disclosed to Felix the design he conceived on the day on which he first said his Mass, and that is to rescue Christians under Muslim slavery, and spoke so movingly upon the subject that Felix was convinced that the design was from God and offered his help. They took some time to recommend it to God by prayer and fasting, and then set out for Rome in the midst of a severe winter in 1197 to obtain the Pope's benediction. They found Innocent III promoted to the chair of St. Peter, who, being already informed of their sanctity and charitable designs by letters of recommendation from the Bishop of Paris, His Holiness received them as two angels from heaven, lodged them in his own house, and gave them many long private audiences, after which he assembled the cardinals and some bishops and asked their advice. After their deliberations, he ordered a fast and particular prayers to know the will of heaven. At length, being convinced that these two holy men were led by the Spirit of God, he consented to their erecting a new religious order and declared St. John of Matha the first general minister. He ordered the religious to wear a white habit with a red and blue cross on the breast and to take the name of the Order of the Holy Trinity. The two founders, having obtained the Pope's blessing and certain indults or privileges, returned to France, presented themselves to the King, Philip Augustus, who authorized the establishment of their order in his kingdom. A French nobleman gave them land to build a convent. Their numbers increasing, the same Lord, seconded by the King, gave them the place in which St. John and St. Felix concerted their first plan of their institute. The two saints sent several of their religious to accompany the Counts of Flanders and Blois and other lords to the holy war against the Muslims. Pope Innocent III wrote to recommend these religious to the King of Morocco, and St. John sent two of his religious in 1201, who redeemed 186 Christian slaves the first voyage. The year following, St. John went to Tunis himself, where he purchased the liberty of 110 more. He returned to France and there received great charities, which he carried into Spain, and redeemed many in captivity under the Moors. On his return, he collected large alms among the faithful to purchase more Christians from their Muslim slaveholders. St. John made a second voyage to Tunis in 1210, in which he suffered much from the Muslims. Enraged at his zeal and success in exhorting the poor slaves to patience and constancy in their faith, not to abandon it to the practice of Islam. As he was returning with 120 slaves he had ransomed, the slave masters took away the helm from his vessel and tore all its sails so that it might perish at sea. The saint, full of confidence in God, begged God to be their pilot and hung up his companions' cloaks for sails, and with the crucifix in his hands, kneeling on the deck, sang psalms for a safe journey. After a smooth voyage, they all landed safe in Italy. St. John lived two more years in Rome, which he employed in exhorting all to penance with great energy and faith. He died on the 21st of December, 1213, aged 61. He was buried in his church of St. Thomas, where his monument yet remains, though his body has been translated into Spain. Pope Honorius III confirmed the rule of his order a second time. By the first rule, they were not permitted to buy anything for their subsistence except bread, herbs, oil, eggs, milk, cheese, and fruit, never flesh nor fish. However, now they might eat flesh on the principal feast on condition it was given to them. They were not in traveling to ride on any beast except donkeys. When we consider the zeal and joy with which the saints sacrificed themselves for their neighbors, how must we blush at and condemn our insensibility at the spiritual and corporal calamities of others? The saints regarded affronts, labors, and pains as nothing for the service of others in Christ. We cannot bear the least word or roughness of temper. St. John of Matha is an example of one who gave up a life of privilege to serve our Lord. The Church has given us the spiritual and corporate works of mercy. It is up to each one of us to put them into practice for the betterment of mankind.
Of mercy. What you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto me. Matthew 25, verses 34 to 46. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead. Spiritual works of mercy. Based on Christ's teachings and Christian practice since the apostles. Counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant, admonish the sinner, comfort the sorrowful, forgive injuries, bear wrongs patiently, pray for the living and the dead.
For joining us on Stories from the Heart. St. John of Matha came from Lives of the Fathers, Martyrs, and Other Saints, Volume 1. Stories from the Heart is recorded at the studios of Ave Maria Radio. To learn more about Ave Maria Radio, go to avemariaradio.net. I'm your host and executive producer, Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to avemariaradio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the